Welcome to the 57th edition of the Gooner Podcast, recorded immediately after the previous one on the Monday after Arsenal lost to West Brom, albeit separated by a rather filling Chinese takeaway. Thanks as ever to our sponsors, GoonerShirts.com, the website for all your quality unofficial Arsenal t-shirt needs. I'm your host, David Udo, and still with me are Don Sebastiano, Kevin Witcher, and Tim Payton from the Arsenal Supporters Trust. So, to continue, should we be encouraged by the club's accounts published the day before the West Brom game? I read in The Guardian that Arsenal fans will be delighted to read that, safe in the knowledge that we weren't willing to spend more than 36 pence on a new goalkeeper. Tim, your thoughts?
Yeah, we should be encouraged, but there's two important points here. One, financial results are only a means. It's the end that's important, and that's using them for something positive. And secondly, the results are very skewed by the success of the property development. And if you look within them, you'll see that the revenue we make from football business, match day, television and commercial, is only just covering the wage bill and the other day-to-day costs of running the club. So when the property boom, if you like, ends, the club is actually living bang on within its means. In a couple of years' time, when the property runs out, it has to improve its commercial function if it's really going to compete at the top level. It's a wage bill of £115 million almost. There's a lot of people, or a lot of players, earning a lot of money at Arsenal.
Does that mean in a couple of years' time, once we've maxed out the Highbury Square project, the Queensland Road project, are we going to see an increase in our already astronomical global leading ticket prices?
I'd be surprised, because I think they know they're as high as they can go. What it probably will mean is more opportunities to buy a further range of shirts with new logos on them. I think what you will definitely see, I predict, coming in from this year, the battle has been won with the manager. There will be a pre-season tour, which will be the globalisation of the Arsenalisation brand. is what Tom Fox and colleagues have been brought in for, and it will just, will it be the States or will they pick a new market? But they will start travelling. They know that they've got to increase the brand internationally so that when they replace the Emirates, when they try and do a new deal with Nike, they double the figures they're getting in there.
Okay. Basti.
I'm a big fan of Corporation Arsenal.
I'm just thinking.
I just think we should become estate agents, really. I don't see why we should bother playing football. One day we'll just be this big company that with a, like some football team on the side.
Kev, what do you think? Will you be celebrating the open top bus ride with a great big cheque and a very smiley Ivan Gazidis?
I wonder if the street vendors will be selling imitation checks or something for the fans to wave from behind the metal barriers. I'm pleased that the club is in rude health. Let's be fair to the board. They have pulled off something which Liverpool and Tottenham have ambitions to do, but are going to find almost impossible. What's amazing is they've pulled it off with a little bit of smoke and mirrors in terms of the team, because they've managed to
smoke and mirrors.
Continue selling out the stadium.
Bunch of flowers.
Based on the potential of the side rather than anything they've actually given us. And I guess we are in the entertainment business now. And, you know, it is entertaining watching Arsenal play. But there are some fans who would accept a slightly duller match day experience with the odd trophy thrown in. So,
but that'd be so dull, because the thing is, potential is so much more exciting. It's the anticipation. It's like, you know, the anticipation of maybe scoring with a really beautiful bird is much better than just actually having a really beautiful bird.
But you can do both, because there's always, you know, always, even when you win things, there's the anticipation.
We've got the build up. Winning things is,
you know,
too obvious.
You get the foreplay, you know, both ways, whether or not there is a sort of climax or not.
All you think about sex, isn't it?
Well, it's you, Basti, because
no, it wasn't me.
You're
the one who said foreplay and climax.
your love life is so checkered and interesting.
It's not at all.
But every time I look at your face,
the same girl for a year and a quarter.
All this reminds me of is the immortal John Cleese line in the hideously underrated 80s comedy Clockwise, where if it was the worst thing you can give a man is hope. Tim, was there anything in particular in the accounts that caught your eye? I mean, I reviewed them myself over the weekend as I'm perennially single, and one of the things that struck me was the money we've taken in this year from player sales doesn't appear to be as high as I thought it would be. Is that due to instalment payment being prevalent throughout the modern game, or
no? That's because you've got to allow for Thomas Vermaelen and Andre Arshavin. We do tend to always say, oh, we sold two big players and forgot we bought two big players within that. That explains the player trading. And actually, looking forward to next year, and you'll have heard Wenger proclaim this two or three times, not selling Fabregas was a sign of the financial strength. And next year we will show, well, I think it might be a couple of million pounds either way, but there won't be a profit from trading players in the figures next year. Yet the club is more than strong enough that it doesn't have to think about any trading going on. Perhaps one of the other interesting things to pick out from the figures is that for some reason this year, Arsenal fans flocked in their tens of thousands to sign up earlier than the year before. So the results are particularly strong because loads of people renewed before the 1st of June, which partly skews the figures. One thing a lot of people see these huge profits and think there's loads of money there. Profit, of course, isn't cash. What happens is they collect all the money from us on the 1st of June. So they have a huge amount in the bank when these accounts close. And then every month they have to whack a whole load of it into all these overpaid players' accounts. And each month the money goes down. So they take something like, you know, 40% of their ticket revenue on one day. And we see that as huge cash in the bank. Of course, it's got future. It's got IOUs to Cesc Fabregas of like £3 million bonus. Thank you very much for not having Catalan DNA this year.
Can I just say something on a much more mundane level?
In answer to your next question, yes, I have.
What?
You're going to ask me whether I've pressed the record button.
No, it wasn't that. It was that you mentioned Arshavin. And we just get rid of that song, including Adebayor, in Arshavin. So, I mean, if I was Arshavin, that wouldn't really get me. No wonder he's not playing very well, or not very enthused, because, you know, if someone's singing Adebayor, I hate that song. I hate that song when Adebayor was with us, and I hate it now. Can we just get rid of that stupid tune?
Beach Boys.
What would really make it the Beach Boys.
It's Sloop John B, isn't it?
What would really make it happy was if we sang Money, Money, Money and threw it at him, I think, from what I hear.
Although,
according to the Chelsea branch of the Metropolitan Police Constabulary, bringing fake...
we wouldn't want fake stuff.
I've got it real. So how about one that goes, Andre Arshavin, he's having a laugh in a rich man's world.
I remember, I think it might have been...
He doesn't feel very rich.
It might have been Guna Podcast 38 with to the tune of Boney M's Rasputin.
Yes, yes.
Andre Arshavin, Arsenal's Russian goal machine.
That was a good one. That's much better than all this Adebayor rubbish.
Remember,
I don't want
kids,
the word Adebayor. I don't want to hear the word Adebayor.
That could, you know, I think we put far too much energy into hating people like Adebayor, David Bentley and Ashley Cole. I think players like that should be treated with the disdain that we will show with William Gallas when he comes back.
Ignore
we
them.
Just won't care.
Yeah,
that's how
it's talking of William Gallas.
Yeah, on the subject of William Gallas, Basti, have you bumped into any Arsenal players in the Hampstead region recently?
No, but I bumped into a Tottenham player, and I walked past him in Church Row day before yesterday. No, was it yesterday? Anyway, no. What day is it?
I don't think it matters.
Anyway, it was the day of the West Brom game, just before, and I saw him. He was walking up the road. And I walked past him, I thought, is that him? And he was wearing a New York Yankees top and sort of, he was looking very kind of hip-hop. And he was walking up the road. And I saw him, I suddenly clocked him, I thought, oh God, it is William Gallas. And we walked right past each other, just me and him alone in the street. And immediately I sort of sneered a bit, I didn't say anything, I sort of grimaced a bit and walked off. And then when he walked past, I thought, oh shit, why didn't I, great opportunity, just like, how'd your team get on? How'd your team get on the other night, William? And I forgot, and I did. I nearly ran back to ask him, but I thought that would be going a bit far, you know what I mean? But if I had that moment, how'd the team get on, just as you pass? Oh.
Perfect segue sort of between that issue. Just one more thing on the accounts. with Wenger's policy of playing weakened teams in the domestic cups, we've obviously seen us go to Tottenham, put in a hell of a display, getting a hell of a result against them up the road with a lot of 13 players in our team. Is he going to take the Carling Cup and the FA Cup more seriously? If so, what's brought about this change in policy? Is it a desire for silverware, or is it the stark fact that with us able to generate up to £3 million per home game, the board would like us to play more home games. Tim?
They're kind of linked, aren't they? You win the cups, you play more home games, you sell more merchandise. So probably keeps everybody happy. I don't think it's as cynical as that. But you can see the gap in the account from the five missing games. That includes the fact that the accountants would probably like you to come fourth in the champion in the Premier League, not third, because then you get the playoff game, which is worth £3 million plus some TV revenue that comes for it. So, you know, arguably you could tell Arsenal, come fourth and you don't have to tour, because there's the money coming from that.
I think Keith Adamman was silently delighted that we didn't win the Champions League in 2006.
What?
Because it would have triggered a load of bonus payments. So, actually, financially, it profited the club.
The best position for the accountants is to come runners-up in everything. Reach the finals, but don't win any of them. Don't have to pay those
bloody
players.
Well, that's why
players.
We're so rich, isn't it? Because we don't win anything.
But Bastian, on a pure footballing level, Guna to Guna, how good was the win at White Hart Lane after the commemorative DVD bollocks of 3 years ago?
I haven't been to White Hart Lane since... I've been five times in my life, and we've lost on every occasion, apart from... was it 78? The 5-0. 80?
78.
And I remember getting in there, and I got in late, and I couldn't get into the terrace bit. I couldn't get past the bar. Everyone was crammed in. And so I just stood on the end of it, and everyone started doing the wanker salute to the Tottenham fans. So I joined in, being a little 14-year-old or whatever. Next thing I know, actually I was 9, I think. Anyway, next thing I know, I'm in a half Nelson. This policeman's throwing me out of the ground. So then I did the long walk home, watched it on Match of the Day, and that's how I watched the 5-0, having been in the ground, actually.
Wasn't that Christmas Eve?
It was December the 23rd.
Merry Christmas, Bastian.
Thank you very much. But you know what? It didn't matter because that 5, it was worth it. I did a likely, lads, and didn't know the score or anything, just watched it. And apart from that, every time I've been there, we've lost, mainly 2-1, I think. So I just don't go to White Hart Lane. So I watched it with a friend. Who happened to be a Tottenham supporter, and he was very insistent that I watch this game, and I was like, oh, it's only the cup, what's it, cup, who cares, you know, and I really don't make that much time for it, but he insisted I went round and watched it, so I did, and I'm very glad I did, because I actually found a sort of enthusiasm for the Carling Cup I didn't know I had. Sort of the first half, I mean, the lovely thing is that he coined the phrase bum rape, this Tottenham fan. He said, you have bum raped us, he said. As I said, there were a couple of other Tottenham fans there as well. And it was great. From that moment on, we've just, you know, we needed that after that defeat, the horrid 5-1, 5-0?
Yeah, 5-1.
Which we watched in the Bank of Friendship, didn't we?
Yes. You know,
it was a horrible moment. The Carling Cup means something when it's Tottenham, and I thoroughly enjoyed the week bumping into Tottenham fans and giving them, and you know, it's lovely.
Newcastle away in the next round. Tim, what do you think? Mixture of first team and squad players, is he going to go all out for the trophy?
I haven't actually looked. How does it fit in alongside our other matches? Because I just suspect that the manager's sitting there. I was there the Tuesday night. It was brilliant. But if it costs the 3 points against West Brom, was it worth it? And if a manager's sitting there thinking that, will he have even more mixed thoughts? Maybe it is worth it, and maybe we should prioritise that a little bit more and get this young team over the line with a couple of trophies and then come back with a proper goalkeeper next year.
But looking at the fixtures, it would appear that it comes on Wednesday the 27th, so immediately after the Man City game on the Sunday away at Eastlands. It's West Ham at home on the Saturday. Following Wednesday, Shakhtar away, and the Sunday, we're up at Newcastle again.
Well, and that's all with Almunia and Fabianski, isn't it?
That is a period when you'd really like to, you know, play the youngsters and rest this overstretched first team, maybe. But I loved it, and I'm now, you know, I'm hooked. Let's win it.
Mm. One more, and we're in the quarterfinals.
Mm. Well, the problem is Manchester United, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
They're still in it.
There is the small matter of Manchester United winning their trophy for another time. Going on a complete tangent now, because it's on the sheet in front of me. Apparently, over the course of the summer, club level was upgraded with new dining and drinking options. The club has worked on to satisfy people who earn far much more money than myself. Kevin, have you been up? What do you reckon?
Well,
mini Kiev's for a fiver?
Yes, tell them how you've been.
I went as a member of the Arsenal Supporters Trust, and occasionally they do things for the membership, such as... have a good old poke round the new facilities in club level, which they did at the early in September.
Food and drink not included.
No, but I mean, what interested me about it was that they have spent a hell of a lot of money making two restaurant areas and one bar area look very classy. You can see one of the bars from outside at the probably away entrance, where you've got some giant sort of arty pictures of Arsenal players on the wall. And
out of interest, is that where the UEFA delegates sit during Champions League games?
Well, it is. They do their hospitality in that area, and I mean, the catering money that is made is mostly actually kept by Delaware North, because they have paid a fat amount of money for a contract lasting a long time. So I was initially a bit confused as to why Arsenal had invested a hell of a lot of money on what are very high quality facilities. But it was Tim, I think, that explained to me that they do want to keep selling club level seats, and they've got to provide something that is going to make people want to be in that particular area.
I think it's even better news than that. The way they sell the package that includes the food is as a license. And by selling it as an extended license of your seat, it basically gets round the clause, which means that it all goes to Delaware. So they found a way of constructing how they describe the ticket. I think Delaware have had some uplift, but Arsenal were collecting 85% of it, type thing. Right. So, you know, to make it even more worthwhile for them. But it's also part of the offering, isn't it, to renew, because renewing is about the experience between 1 and 6 o'clock.
See, yeah. I'm personally a bit of an old North Bank boy. I prefer a bit of,
well, know, I mean,
Bovril,
I'd like
a bit of Bovril and a really bad tasting pie. And have to queue for it. And remember the old North Bank, we used to go there and you have to
we
queue for hours. You
bring back rubbish food.
You couldn't get in there, could you? And you know, by the time you got out, it was, oh God, remember that, all that shuffling and
I do. But what my hope is that the actual way that the let's say the Arsenal art thing has been incorporated into these plush areas is extended to the drinking areas of the other concourses, because there's a lot of things they could do on the walls, which they're doing.
Well, you think there'll be a trickle effect?
I think there will.
I said they are.
You think you will end up with a carpet on the
lower tiers? Well, it won't go that far.
No, well, they've got to spend the money on something, and they're committed to investing about 4% of revenues per year
in
the stadium.
I've got an idea. What about players? Why don't we spend it on players? No, that would be much too logical.
I'm sure we're going to heat the seats one day.
Yeah, let's heat the seats and have carpets everywhere and a team that doesn't win anything.
Can I get my heat seated with the money generated from my £40 plaque I can have put on my seat? Seriously, I understand they'll be selling Arsenal branded old rope as of Christmas.
Well, 11,000 people have bought a brick that's stuck to the floor.
including myself.
Oh, yes.
To shame, Mr. Bates.
What does yours say then?
It says Percy Udo, 1913 to 1991.
A tribute to,
to my grandfather. Right, okay. If it wasn't for him, I would be a Clapton Orient fan. So thanks, Percy. Fuck you.
Right.
Has club level sold out this year, out of interest, Tim?
Yes, it did sell out. They had to work harder at it. They brought in a team of salespeople.
Yeah.
But it has sold out. I don't think there is a bigger problem with club level. The plus is the revenue it brings in. It helps to create the income for the wage bill. Hopefully it can be spent well by a manager with a squad we want to see. But it's bringing in a type of person that doesn't use a ticket for every game, so the empty seats, that doesn't make the same kind of noise and atmosphere that we want. And the club are aware of this and thinking about this, that they bring in great money, but they're not necessarily creating a stadium atmosphere that they want. And they've got to work harder on how they move tickets on how they deal with that. But if someone offers you £10,000 for a seat for the year, Keith Edelman said it out front to me, didn't give a fuck whether they were sitting there or not. He got the money, they paid, they could choose whether or not to come.
I mean, absolutely right. And I mean, one of the reasons I am not a critic of club level and the boxers is because the income they provide does actually stop the club from attempting to increase the seat prices of the upper and lower tiers, much as you may think they're already too expensive. But without club level, they would certainly have a go at pushing them a bit. It's a necessary evil, and obviously you don't expect great support from that tier, but if they're paying the money, then they are making a contribution, and it's up to the lower and upper tiers, the guys in the cheap seats, to get behind the team. They shouldn't be relying on
cheap. The people what cheap in the middle. Seats? Are there cheap
well,
seats?
Well, I'm talking metaphorically. The relatively, cheaper.
Relatively seats. Cheap, yeah. As opposed to cheap.
Yeah.
Right. Because I don't see anything cheap at Arsenal anymore.
Well, I mean, I've
heard the Gooner, of course. Oh, well, you can course buy the Gooner for £2.
Just £2.
And it's very good value.
I think the kids' concession tickets are quite good value.
How much are they?
They're 13 or 14 quid.
And what, if you've got
there
a kid...
There are nine of them. There are nine of them.
If you've got a kid, can you go with your kid?
Then you have to pay £33.
You pay £33.
As an adult.
So it's not really worth having a kid just to get in
cheap. There'd be a lot of kidnappings in North London, couldn't there?
No, it's just something. I've been a year and a quarter.
Well, you
with
can
the
get,
same
you
girl,
can get,
so, you know,
you can get £33 seats elsewhere in the ground if you're quick.
I'll get them off you, Kev.
Well, there we are.
Maddie McCann's going to turn up as an Arsenal fan somewhere later down the line. We can choose to include that or not. One of the most entertaining evenings the last 18 months came at last year's shareholders Q&A, when open questions were invited from the floor, and some of us £1,200 a year season ticket holders deigned to question the manager's judgment on a few different things. This year, I understand, was a slightly different setup where questions were pre-submitted, and from the outside looking in, I was fearful it would be another Arsenal Wenger jollification exercise. Tim, you went. What's it all about?
It was a lot lower key than the year before, but in terms of being stage managed, it wasn't at all. Every single question that was submitted was asked, whatever the question. And the questions included, I paraphrase, but why haven't you done anything about the goalkeepers? The current ones are rubbish. Why don't you spend more money? You've got it. Why don't you focus more on winning in the cups? Why have we got such an awful injury record? All these questions were put, and they were put by the people that had asked them. Why won't you tour? Isn't the commercial revenue important? All of these questions were put. What I think had happened was the manager had been given some Valium before he came in and told to take it all lower key. And he did what he did at his press conference, which was just ignore the parts of the questions he didn't really want to answer. And in one or two cases, make up an answer, including, I think, when challenged on the overseas tour by the Arsenal Supporters Trust, which is important for the commercial revenue, started to quote us the FIFA directive that said that players must have 4 weeks' holiday. Subsequently, search has shown that there's no such directive, yeah. But Arsene thinks there is. So was it stage managed? No, and I would say to the people, I know some people are saying, oh, it'll all be a waste of time, but that's the usual kind of outsider view. You could put your question, you could go in, and they were put, but did you hear anything that you hadn't already heard in his answers? Then no, you didn't.
I'd be more interested to see if they take questions from the floor at the Arsenal Holdings AGM in October, because that's when you can get a few mavericks and potentially more interesting challenges. Whether or not it'll happen, I mean, every AGM seems to be different as the format often changes, but it would be nice if, especially if we do as some of us think we will in the next couple of games, because it's not too far away. It's only the third Thursday in October. It'll be interesting to see what the reaction is to the manager then.
What's that happened to David Dean and Red and White Holdings and all that?
Well, they still have a good old chunk of the club, but they're
up to 28.9% now. Is that about right, Tim?
They're about 27.99%. Oh. They have nothing to do with David Dean. I had caught up for lunch with David a couple of weeks ago. He is totally focused on the World Cup bid.
Oh yeah, which is a pity, because I think we miss David Dean.
I think we do a lot. He spent the whole month in South Africa giving Arsenal a lift in the private plane that he'd hired with the money that he'd made, no doubt, from selling his Arsenal shares, so he could fly around all the World Cup games glad-handing and giving an Arsenal a lift on the way round the tournament. Mm. When the bid is won or lost, then David will have a bit more time on his hands. Will he become the chairman of the FA, which is what I think he'd really like to do, or will he really go back to having more time whispering to Arsene over the garden fence which goalkeeper he should be buying.
Well, I think the thing is about David Dean, he's an Arsenal man. There's no totally. Question about it, because I remember a few years ago I was in a pub in Hampstead, the Duke of Hamilton, and he walks in with someone and I just thought, my God, he's walked into my local. Fucking David Dean's walked into my local. What's he doing here? And so I sort of pulled him up and I was wearing an Arsenal top and he came up to me and said, oh, he said,
hello, Basti.
No, he said, no, it wasn't quite like that. But he just sort of, in the end, he said, look, I'm going to come back and talk to you in a minute. I've just got to talk to this guy. And he came back and he said, listen, I'd really like to, could you write me something about what, we want to get some more, we were at Highbury at the time, want to get some more atmosphere going. I ended up writing him this 7-page report on like everything, how to get a Highbury atmosphere at Highbury, and never heard that from him. But never mind.
Can I just interject on a purely point of personal interest? In regards to the World Cup bid, I have a theory that FIFA is a corrupt organisation and QED Russia will win the bid. Do you have any thoughts on that, Tim, as someone who's a mover and shaker in these kind of circles?
To what? The background tune of From Russia with Love.
World Cup bids are notorious for having to have good relationships with the 24 people who make the votes. I'm not close enough to know exactly how it works. English football, if you like, does its backhanders openly, which is it sends coaches and referees to countries it takes its, who can vote. It takes its team to play. Why is the England end of season friendly in Thailand this year? One of the 24 votes is there. Why did they go to the Caribbean last year where Jack Warner resides? That is, if you like, is the open way of playing the game within the system. I think if the bid is awarded to the most competent country that would host it superbly, deliver a lot of money for FIFA to reinvest in the game, it will come to England. If they want to go for this kind of final frontier, and Russia can do something, which is put a map up and show a huge gap in a bit of the world that the World Cup's never been to, a bit like Rio could for the Olympic Games, then you could say that it's Russia's turn. I think it's going to be very close. But having got David Dean in, interestingly replacing a Tottenham-supporting chairman, Lord Treisman, has given a huge boost to the bid, because what David Dean can do is walk into any room of the world power brokers in football and they all know him and like him. He can shake their hands and immediately start telling them what Thierry told him yesterday when he phoned up for a chat, and it makes that difference.
What did he tell him when he phoned him yesterday? but would it be good for Arsenal to have David Dean? I mean, he is an Arsenal man.
No, it's not going to happen unless Danny Fisman leaves the scene.
I mean to have David Dean as top dog at the FA.
Well, it's not going to happen either. I mean,
The regulatory function of the FA is quasi-independent. Of course, for years, people felt when David Dean was vice chairman that everything from the fixture list through to the referees.
Well, we did win a lot of things then, didn't we? Yes. Things seem to go away then. Do you know what I mean? What I'm saying is, just by having an Arsenal man there, do the vibes get good, you know?
Is any consolation? I do know Alistair McLean, the general counsel of the FA, and I've been asking for a job for about 8 years. I'm trying, guys, but you know, as I did with Svenja, Arsenal's general counsel, I've unfortunately scuppered my chance of getting a grown up job in football through my criticisms of the FA and Arsenal board via this publication.
Well, do they listen? I've got Ali as well. Hello, Ali.
Do referees psychologically start going, oh, you know, well, maybe we'll give them the rub of the green a bit more.
Where it does work, I don't think it works there, but is things like knowing how to play the transfer market, knowing all the top people at the other clubs to get a good loan deal through, working out how you bring players, for instance, better out of South America into Europe, get the work permit and into the UK.
David Dean was great at that.
Exactly, that was my point. He knew the football world, he knew how to make it work, he knew the rules and how to bend them but not break them. He's been a real loss to Arsenal, no doubt.
Yeah.
Kevin, you're shaking, you're nodding your head in agreement. However, I've read the best-selling Arsenal and Making of a Modern Super Club, and that view's not still valuable through most...
Been reprinted.
Really?
Yeah.
8th edition now of Arsenal, the Making of a Modern Super Club.
I'm told it's on the reading list of all new Arsenal executives. As a book to read.
Well, this is blowing Kev's street cred totally, but when he likes to be a bit of a rebel, Arsenal will never invite me to anything. Oh, I'm the bogeyman. Turns up to a charity dinner.
I was invited.
Bob Wilson. You were invited to it, and you end up sitting next to Tom Fox and expecting, we can't have anything to do with Laguna. What does Tom say? Oh, I love your publication. It's a great read. It's really important the club has something like that.
The man knows how to play a crowd. There's no question about that.
I think he's an American in very high places.
Very establishment, Kevin.
He also knows where you live, Skip. Also knows where you live, I'm sure. It's like the time Barry Hearn remembered my name. I was scared shitless. Of course, another way to get into such events as the club's charity dinner and the shareholders' Q&A is the recently launched Arsenal Fanshare scheme, which, as I'm sure we've all seen on match day, is one of the few fan-facing initiatives favoured and backed by the club, with it taking advertising space on our revolving screens. However, it's coming from some criticism. The Guardian, I remember, referred to it as the worst investment anyone can make, with entry fees and exit fees and you controlling a portion of a club that's set to be bought by an American or an Uzbek anytime soon. Tim, the Fanshare scheme. Brilliant on the first day. Within a week, everyone's slating it. What's it really like?
Oh, it's gone really, really well. Let me pick up that Guardian bit. That was in the Guardian money pages, where they write about whether or not something is a good investment. We're not telling people to buy Arsenal shares to make money. We're telling people to buy Arsenal shares because they love the club and they want to be custodians in it. Supporters should own more of their club. Then they can stop clubs being speculated with, stop people coming in and asset stripping them, stop people coming in and taking out all the interest payments and dividends like Hicks and Gillette are doing, like Glazer are doing. If anything, Fanshare has struggled in its first month to meet the demand. We've now got more Fanshare members than there are shareholders in the club. That doesn't equate to the financial power, it equates to the number of people. Now, obviously, cynical people are saying, oh, you need hundreds of thousands of people to make a difference. Well, we don't think we're going to own the club, that's not the intention. But if we get a few more people coming in and owning shares, we might one day have that crucial 10% to stop someone taking it private. We think, as an absolute fundamental principle, Arsenal is too important to be owned by any one person. You can stop it going private at 10%. At 25%, you can stop the EGM that could change the articles. Someone want to change its name to London Arsenal or Worldwide Arsenal.
Better than Emirates Arsenal, isn't it?
For this branding exercise. So, and what we will have at the AGM, and you know, Kevin's referred to the chance to challenge, but we will have Fanshare members at the AGM, you know, later in the month, able to hold the club to account, see what's going on, ask questions, and hear about the financial results. So it's been a huge step forward, and most of the major commentators, from Henry Winter to David Conn to the government to UEFA to the Premier League, have all praised it as being, I think we're going to see more and more football clubs in England go that way, partly as a reaction to how badly ownership has gone in places like Manchester United and Liverpool.
Basti, you're a traditional 70s to 80s gooner, I'd say. You're a left winger in every sense of the word. Power to
no,
the
No, only on the football pitch.
Hang on. You were Hampstead College's B team goalkeeper. I know this from times gone past. Will you be investing in the Arsenal Fanshare scheme, or are you slightly sceptical, as your man on the street fan?
I will not be investing in the Arsenal Fanshare scheme. I don't have any shares. I'm not a shareholder kind of guy, to be honest with you. If I've got a bit of money spare, I'd rather put it into a project, something creative I'm going to do, and I know where it's going. And if I lose it, I lose it. That's my balls up, you know. I don't think. I don't know. It's not for me. It's not something.
It's a symbolic investment. I think, you know, it's like you are able to buy a share in Manchester United or Celtic.
How much
because,
is one?
Well, I mean, at the point of a normal share in these clubs, they do cost like £100 or something. You can't buy an Arsenal share because they're £10,000. So, in a way, instead of buying a share, you buy a symbolic little piece of the ownership. The guy who owns a full share in Celtic or Man United has about as much power as a Fanshare owner, in my book. There isn't actually a lot of difference. So it's a way for people to feel like they own a little bit of the club. Mm. You know, it's a certificate on the wall. It's just like you say, okay, you know, I want this little thing. It's worth £100. I mean, obviously, some people will actually save towards an actual genuine share, you know, just as on the Never Never. It's a way of just saying, OK, I want to own a share one day. I'm just going to drip feed into this so that one day it'll come up. Other people will buy one fan share and that'll be it. They'll be happy with it. But, I mean, it's definitely an emotional investment and not a financial one. And I think it's sound. I don't think there's any illusions about what you're buying into here. You're owning a very, very small bit of Arsenal, but you're owning a bit of Arsenal. So you do become a part owner.
Well, it's probably better value than a shirt, that, like the 12th shirt you bought or whatever.
And how much was that brick that you...
Oh, the brick.
Yeah. The brick was about £50, I think.
Well, there you go. For two bricks, you actually get a part share of Arsenal, which has got a value.
Well,
gives you a voting right every year at the AGM, gives you a chance to attend that AGM, gets you some financial update from the club. So, you know, actually, it's two match day tickets. And if we could get 11,000 members, like people who bought bricks, or if we could get the 180,000 members of Arsenal to all have one, we're actually suddenly quite significant in the number of shares they'll own collectively. And you might be able to, you know, we shouldn't take for granted the situation we have at Arsenal where we can be involved like this.
All right, where do I get one?
ArsenalFanshare.com.
And how many places have you managed to get for the AGM?
We're still actually working with a club to come through on that, but I'm hoping we'll get 100 places or so to bring, you know, a good number to bring people in. And actually the first tangible benefit of joining came through on Friday when Ivan Gazidis emailed every fan share member with a financial update, you know, even before it was released to the markets. And so they were fully abreast of what was going on, just like shareholders got.
But back to what the Guardian said, is when you buy one, you've got to pay an entry fee and an exit fee?
What you pay... £20 for your membership, which is a bit like joining the scheme, which includes getting your certificate, getting your account set up.
Right.
And then you pay any contribution you make into the fan share fund, you pay a 2% management fee on, just like you pay in many financial services.
Right, so if
services,
you just get one, it's £102.
If you put £100 in, £98 will go towards buying the shares, and £2 is the cost of it. So it's not any great rip-off at all. The main reason we put the £50 exit fee, if you leave, you pay a £50 exit fee, was to try and stop people playing the market by coming in and, oh, it's gone up, the shares have gone up 5%. I'll come out now.
Right.
Get £105
back.
Well, they can come out, but it won't be worth it because they'll have to pay that £50 fee. So it was to try and actually promote stability and not have it as a you know, an investment thing where you're riding the price of Arsenal shares every week.
Yeah.
We're into the last 2 minutes, so I've got three questions left to ask, and I want one word or very brief answers from all of you. Over the course of this season, our defence will be made up of people from Poland, Spain, France, England, and I'm sure many other nationalities. Which language they use to communicate on the pitch and scream keeper's ball or away? Tim Payton.
It's French, isn't it?
Basti.
Well, yeah, because one's Polish and French, so he can speak Polish and French. It's not going to be Polish, is it?
Kev?
It depends who's talking to who. The defence will communicate in French. When the keeper's involved, they will communicate in English. Hence, indecision.
What? Are you serious? They don't all talk English on
the
pitch.
My understanding was that Wenger tried to encourage all his players to speak English on the pitch.
Yeah, of course they have to.
You've got four French-speaking guys along the back four. They're going to communicate in French.
You should speak whatever comes quickest to mind, and some of them don't seem to be doing that at the moment. Maybe we need Esperanto lessons.
Well, what's Jack Wilshere going to do when someone says, well, it's like that? That's not going to help him much, is it?
Teach him what Allay means.
But doesn't the defence have to, like, get in contact with the defensive midfield occasionally?
Well, they're French.
Well, midfield to itself, then.
Laurent Koscielny, is he Pascal Segan in disguise? Kevin Whitcher.
He needs to lose a bit more hair, so I guess he is in disguise. No, I think it's too early to... I think there's a lot of encouraging things we've seen about the guy, and I think he's definitely worth a few months before we condemn him.
Tim?
He looks okay, but... probably now Arsenal should be signing world-class central defenders when that issue comes up, rather than someone who you know, may grow into one, but I think he's going to prove to be a perfectly fine Premier League player, but maybe an Almunia central defender rather than the class that Gallus had when he was on form.
Basti?
He's coming as Koscielny, and after a year under Wenger, he's going to be Sagan, and he's going to leave as Stepanovs.
And finally, we've spoken previously in light of the West Brom game of, you know, what a disaster it's in. You know, we were struggling to motivate this group of famous international millionaire playboys. Could a different manager get more out of this squad of players, Kevin Whitcher?
I'm beginning to think that is now possible, because although they're all Wenger's prospects, I do worry that he can't motivate them in the way that's required. So I think there are managers who could take the club further now.
Tim?
Well, next game is a huge game in football. Every season is judgment. But I do think if we're going to lose Fabregas this summer, who is so central to the Wenger project, and in effect, you're going to have some big money to spend again, but a manager who doesn't like spending it, you do start to raise the question you would even have thought of a couple of years ago about whether that's the time to have someone else to be in charge of the next stage of where the club goes.
Basti?
How many years have we been sitting here saying one more year for Wenger? You know,
I think the extended contract is like a golden handshake. I think the board are fully prepared to actually call it a day and just give him a good payoff.
All I know is that in every contract negotiation gone by, it's got to the end of September, the end of October. So I don't want to talk about this. It'll be fine. It'll sort itself out. You know, I just don't want to affect the players. I want to see if Barcelona are interested. But no, it's fine. I'll sign it. All I know is he signed whatever bit of paper they put in front of him, and I'm sure it got filled out later. So to finish, there's just time for the usual reminder that our email address is goonapodcast@gmail.com. And if you've got any ideas for new chants, email them in. We'll have a crack at them next time around. Thanks once again to our sponsors, GoonaShirts.com, and a reminder that the next issue of the Gooner, the third one this season, will be on sale at the Birmingham match on the third weekend in October. And if you can't make the game, it's also available from the Gooner Shop section on OnlineGooner.com. We'll be back at the beginning of October, and until then, my thanks to the panel, Kevin.
Goodbye.
Basti.
Au revoir.
And Mr. Tim Payton.
See you later.
This is David Udo. We hope you've enjoyed listening. La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-di. All good friends and jolly good company. Well, hey!